The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
World Rugby, they've announced an extension to their concussion stand down period. So players will now face an increased stand down period of 12 days if they have a history of concussion or are removed from a match with obvious concussive symptoms. Dr. Barry O'Driscoll is former medical advisor to World Rugby. Barry, I mean, we'll talk about what the current situation is and whether this is enough, but just first and foremost, do you welcome this increase to 12 days?
Yes, I do, Ken. Anything which starts to put right the terrible mistakes they've made about putting brain-injured players back on the field. This is a start, nowhere near enough, and it will progress from there. It'll be a lot longer than 10 days that players are off from, they're sort of treading water a little bit, World Rugby, at the moment.
So what is it at the moment? What is the current protocol?
Well, the protocol now is that for the professional game, they can go back in 6 to 7 days, as long as they fulfil certain conditions, but that includes chiefly symptomatic, so they don't have symptoms and they gradually increase their exercise over 6 days. We know that that was brought in when the game went professional. Before that, it was 3 weeks. Now, we know now that the brain injury lasts for quite a percentage of players for 2 to 3 weeks, but they haven't been able to go back on what they decided, which was decided for purely commercial reasons.
So you had this rule of 3 weeks, the professional game comes in, it is shortened,
yes.
And that three-week rule, you seem to be saying, was based on sound medical advice that, you know, up to 3 weeks,
yes,
people were still suffering symptoms. So do we take it then, and if the logical consequence of what you're saying is that since the mid-90s when rugby went professional, players en masse have been going out with injuries to their brain and continuing to play?
Absolutely. I was 15 years on World Rugby's Concussion Committee, and that is exactly why I resigned. And that's all down in writing why I said I could not accept that. It was going against all the research that was going through. And it was done, as I say, for purely commercial reasons. Went from 3 weeks to 6 days or 7 days overnight.
I appreciate, like, your expertise is in the medical field, Barry, and I have no particular set of expertise or skills.
No.
But I want to ask you this anyway. I assume World Rugby are exposing themselves here as well to claims from individual players. I mean, if the medical advice was there and it was being offered by people like yourself that they needed to do this, and now they've moved in that direction, surely that's an acknowledgement that, oh God, yeah, we had it wrong for the last 15 years.
Well, that's a very good point, Kieran, and that you put your finger on it, really, and they've been very, very reluctant to do this. They've resisted it for quite a while, but both Rugby League and Australian rules have moved and increased the time a player must stay off. And so that is what has forced them into this position. They're being sued by a huge number of players, and they've not made any changes in the 10 years to justify the situation that they're in now. And now they're being forced to do it. And the I don't think the lawyers will be too happy with them, because just as you said, they have admitted now that they've been wrong for 10 years at least.
I mean, and you think of all of those players, and there's some well-known, high-profile players who've come out in the last 2 years. Steve Thompson, the English player as well, talking about he can't even remember the 2003 World Cup final.
Right.
An absolutely remarkable story, and he's not alone in that regard. Are you at least as encouraged as well, though, a little bit by how seriously or how they seem to be taking blows to the head on the field? You know, they've moved to much closer to a zero tolerance approach to any sort of contact with the head, be that accidental or not.
Absolutely, that's one good move that they have been that they've made. That is a good move. At the same time as they were making these moves, I mean, it's very important and right they did it. The trouble is for them that the amount of evidence that's come through over the last 10 years is that just as important of those blows to the head are the trauma to the head, which causes no symptoms at all. Every time a set scrum goes down, every time there's a tackle where the head's not touched and there's whiplash, it looks now as what the brain shaking in the head is being damaged each time. But they're between a rock and a hard place now, I'm afraid, and this will drag on, and the lawyers will drag it on for a long, long time. What I'm ashamed of really is that they've been prepared to let brain-injured players go back on the field for 10 years now.
Can rugby, though, in its current guise, survive into the future if what you're saying is true? And I'm not questioning what you're saying, but I mean, if there's evidence of brain injury from scrums and from tackles where there's no contact with the head, right. I struggle to see how any parent can let their kids go out and play rugby, first and foremost.
Well, not yes, and with kids, it's now been shown over the last 10 years that for quite some time after each sort of game, their cognition is reduced a little bit, and these children are taking exams and that. So it is on a knife edge at the moment. And there's the research, the point about it is that this medium and long-term damage only happens to a certain percentage, and we don't know who that percentage are at the moment. But within 5 or 10 years, we probably will know who they are. Whether there are other factors, there probably is a big genetic factor. And so the damage that one player will get, the same sort of trauma another player has, and he won't get it.
I mean, do you suspect, if we were having this conversation, Barry, in 10 or 15 years' time, rugby look very different to the way it is today? Or
yes, very different on the field. They've started to make the changes there with no head contact or very much reduced contact and that. But just as you said, it is basically a game of trauma, isn't it? And it depends what the research over the next 10 years shows. But it may be the end of rugby, really, you know, after that sort of time.
God, that is remarkable to think. And I take no joy in it or pleasure as someone. I'm a fan of the game, never really played it. But I know, for what it's worth, my young fella, he's only 7, went out and played a bit of rugby this winter. Now, it wasn't really his cup of tea. But I have to say, my wife was kind of happy that it wasn't his cup of tea. She was none too pleased. And I think lots of mothers and fathers out there would be in a similar boat. They were not that pleased about the idea of them going out and playing rugby and taking these types of blows. But listen, it's a pleasure to speak to you always, Barry, and thanks a million for taking the time. Dr. Barry O'Driscoll, former medical advisor to World Rugby. Maybe you are one of those parents I'm talking about who'd prefer their kids didn't play or never took it up or didn't have an interest in it. Maybe you value the game hugely and you're appalled at the idea that rugby might not exist into the future, as Barry has suggested. 53106, the text number if you want to get in touch. People using that text number to get in touch about Sinn Féin's calls for a mini budget. Pat says, a once-off solidarity tax. I've been hearing about once-off solidarity taxes for about 12 years for a multitude of reasons. Once-off is doing a lot of work here. When are the squeezed middle going to be targeted by measures? Says somebody else. We work so hard to pay for everything and we get nothing in return. Tax the rich more, the Sinn Féin mantra. When the highly skilled and paid jobs move abroad, then the top 1% who already pay 78% of taxes will be no more. That's from Mark in Dublin. And John in Cork says, so the government don't understand the gravity of the situation, yet Sinn Féin want a solidarity tax. Are they for real? We can't afford more taxes. High or low income, we are all stretched to the limits. They are delusional. Keep those texts coming. Like I say, the number is 53106. We're going to be talking about dogs and crocs in a few minutes' time, but first we'll get the news headlines. Here's Amy.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.